This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. It's the 13th of March, 2024. And hello to you. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by C.J. Miller, Sabrina Halverson, Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, too, with another beautiful day today and then moisture moving in to close the work week. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com for more. In the news, new product of the U.S. labeling requirements and also the importance of regular soil testing for soil fertility. And the markets yesterday mixed strong in soybeans. Arlen Suderman analysis coming up on the Wednesday Hoosier Ag Today podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we know that when agriculture thrives, we all do. It's the heart and grit of our agricultural communities that keep the crops coming in and the livestock cared for day and night. That's why we build financial solutions around the needs and schedules of our ag clients. If you're looking for a financial partner that has over 135 years experience in understanding and supporting agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's harvest success together. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Do you have an interest in taking your hay or livestock operation to the next level but need some help doing it? Then head out to the Hay and Livestock Expo hosted by Reynolds Farm Equipment, March 15th from 8 to 3 at the Boone County Fairgrounds. Join them for free lunch and hear from speakers, visit over 15 vendor booths, win door prizes, and more. Pre-register for a chance to win a roll of net wrap and hay knife. To register or for more information, visit events.reynoldsfarmequipment.com/hay-livestock-expo-24.
A new rule for labeling meat and eggs here in the U.S. And is this the year to soil test on your farm? I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, at the grocery store, you may have seen your meat and eggs labeled as a product of the USA. But before, that didn't always mean it was actually raised here in the U.S. Sabrina Halverson has an update now on what officially qualifies as a product of the USA.
The USDA has finalized a rule to align the voluntary product of the U.S. label claim with consumer understanding of what that claim means. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack made the announcement Monday at the National Farmers Union Annual Convention in Scottsdale, Arizona.
We are now on record as being for the utilization of that label only when the animal is born, raised, slaughtered, and processed in the U.S.
He said the rule will prohibit misleading U.S. origin labeling in the market and help ensure that the information that consumers receive about where their food comes from is truthful.
The reason for this is quite simple. We surveyed consumers. We asked them the question, when you see this label, what do you think it means? They said, well, everything was done in the United States. Well, actually, that's not been the case. Then we ask the question, do you place a value on that? I mean, in other words, are you willing to pay a nickel or two more? Well, absolutely. We want to help our farmers. So in order for that value proposition to be respected, in order for there to be fairness and honesty and proper representation in the marketplace, it's important to have rules like this.
Secretary Vilsack also made two other announcements. First, USDA is awarding $9.5 million to 42 projects through the Local Meat Capacity Grant Program to expand processing options for the meat and poultry industry. Second, there are new actions to ensure transparency and a fair and competitive market in the U.S. seed industry. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
Well, is this the year to soil test on your farm? Andy Eubank digs into some answers.
If it has been more than 3 years since the last tests, one expert says plan on it this year.
I'm not really concerned about if you're a spring sampler or a fall sampler. I just want you to be consistent. So if you're going to be sampling in the fall, always do it in the fall. That way you can do those comparisons from year to year. And I like to see every 2 to 3 years, especially if you're doing heavy applications of manure or other dry applications, just so you can monitor those changes over time.
Stephanie Zelenko is national agronomist from AgroLiquid. She says more and more are aware of the importance of soil testing as farmers continue to push yields, but the expense and all that data returned in a test can cause some to shy away from testing regularly.
But for us, it's a good baseline of that soil overall health, the overall fertility health of it, that we're going to help you pinpoint some areas to focus on to improve your overall cropping applications.
Zelenko likens a soil test to what happens when you visit the doctor.
A soil test is really no different than a blood test that you would get for yourself at the doctor. It's just going to give you an overall quick snapshot view of how your body is working. The soil test is going to do the same thing. That's going to be that main food source for your crop. So it's going to tell you what nutrients you have, what you may be lacking. And then growers can work with a crop nutrition specialist to actually figure out where they need to improve. And that's going to improve their overall return and overall profitability. And so that's where they're going to make money.
AgroLiquid Research here and across the country is entered into a complete database to calculate what they call win rates for farmers.
That's just the likelihood that we're going to see a yield and an economic return of adding a specific nutrient component. And this is what our sales team uses to help growers make those decisions. And it goes back to their operation. You know, are you pushing 300 bushel corn or are you pushing 150 bushel corn? And then you can figure out, you know, should you spend those dollars on, say, zinc to get that anticipated return.
AgroLiquid is a family-owned company headquartered in St. John's, Michigan, producing and manufacturing a complete line of crop nutrition. They offer nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, along with secondary and micronutrients in the liquid form.
All liquid nutrition that can go out at planting time, in furrow, 2x2, through foliar applications, a lot of flexibility.
Learn more about soil testing at their website. We have a link at our website. I'm Andy Eubank.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farm Credit Mid-America believes that your crop insurance should be maximized to address what's important to you. With their data-optimized decision tool, you can build a policy custom-fit to your operation's goals. Using your past production data, their tool, which they have exclusive access to in their territory, maps out future events, helping you choose the perfect policy type, coverage level, and options for you, all guided by their crop insurance agents. To learn more, visit fcma.com/crop-insurance. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity provider.
The High Ground Podcast. Everything from energy and fuel.
It's Memorial Day weekend, going to be 87 to 89, maybe low 90s all weekend. So we thought we'd bring Scott Heine in to talk about home heat.
To agriculture.
Anytime we can help a farmer grow their business and meet their goals, that's a proud moment for me.
And, well, other things.
For some reason, like and subscribe. We don't know why, but that's important.
We want you to do it on your own, but we're going to tell you.
Listen now on all platforms.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. A beautiful Wednesday for you here, although clouds are going to be building this afternoon. But we're still looking at some good moisture in here to finish the week. I think we're looking at plenty of moisture up to 2 inches in parts of the Hoosier State as we finish out Thursday and Friday. But let's talk about today first. We see a little bit of cloud cover at times in west and southwestern parts of the state. And then as we move through the evening and overnight, clouds thicken up everywhere. The clouds thicken up as we get ready for our next round of moisture that will show up here for Thursday. Hit and miss action early on, but then fairly solid precipitation through the entirety of your Thursday. We're going to be seeing the daytime hours moisture on Thursday focus central and northern Indiana. And then overnight to Thursday night through Friday, the heavier activity, I think, shifts into central and southern Indiana. Notice central gets part of both rounds. So I think that's going to be where the heaviest precipitation accumulation will end up being. Moisture holds through at least a Friday midday to early afternoon before falling apart, and we will be on our way then to a drier weekend. All told, like we said, third of an inch maybe on the low end in very rare spots, but upwards of 2 inches in some areas by the time everything's done. Saturday, clouds trying to give way to sunshine. It's cooler, but not super cold yet. Sunday, we see a reinforcing shot of cold air coming in, and that's going to take temperatures to below normal levels or very, very close to it. And then we see that cold air park for almost all of next week. Monday through Thursday, we're looking at this cold air holding. Clouds off and on through the period as well, especially Monday afternoon, Monday night, early Tuesday. I don't think we see any precipitation until late in the week. Temperatures moderate Thursday afternoon, and that will lead to some moisture likely Thursday night into Friday. Rain showers coming back at this point. I think half to three quarters of an inch tops out of that Thursday-Friday system, but it is definitely going to be cold for the week leading up to that. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
What's in a name? trust, for one thing. You trust the name of the seed you plant and the tractor you drive. Since 2006, Indiana farmers have been trusting the name Hoosier Ag Today to give them the timely, relevant, and credible information they need. And every day they trust this local radio station to keep them informed and entertained. So when someone asks you the name you trust, remember Hoosier Ag Today and this station.
A rally in soybeans. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'll have numbers from a mixed day of trade. But first, market analysis from Arlen Suderman of StoneX. I talked to him right before the Tuesday close. CONAB spoke on Tuesday morning, Arlen, and lowered some soybean and corn numbers as compared especially to USDA. Seemed that that was supportive. However, corn couldn't hold on to earlier gains. But talk about that report and how it may have supported the soybean complex.
Yeah, CONAB is the kind of the equal partner to what we see USDA in the United States. So it's the agricultural branch of the government there in Brazil. And so it estimated this year's soybean crop in this month's monthly crop report at 146.9 million metric tons, down from 149.4 million metric tons last month and well below USDA at 155 million metric tons. So that's a huge difference from USDA. Its all corn production estimate dropped to 112.8 million metric tons, down from 113.7 last month and below USDA at 124. Now, USDA's 124 matches our customer survey results. Our customer survey on soybeans is at 151.6. So we're kind of in between the two, but a big difference between CONAB and USDA. And I will tell you, if you talk to people in Brazil, they probably have greater confidence in USDA's numbers when it comes down to the bottom line in the end. But they have to respect CONAB's numbers as well. And CONAB's numbers are even among the lowest private estimates that we see out of Brazil. So when those numbers, and their wheat number was lower this month as well. So when those numbers came out early this morning, we did see some strength in all three, corn, soybeans, and wheat. But it was soybeans that held on to the strength. Corn and wheat really not able to do so. Double-digit gains in soybeans. It was enough to cause traders to question the wisdom of being short in that commodity today.
What about corn and wheat futures that did turn lower after a pretty good start to the day? We did have some news coming out of Ukraine. Is that a part of what's happening? Although that news would seem to maybe be supportive of U.S. grains and even crude.
Yeah, as we look at Ukraine, that war continues to escalate. One of the things that's escalating about it is, well, first of all, Russia's been stepping up its attacks on the port facilities again within Ukraine. But Ukraine is also using some of the technology it got from the West to strike at refineries deep inside of Russia. In fact, the one that they attacked today, I believe, was like 400 miles east of Moscow. So you have these multiple of drones going right over Moscow, so to speak, to the refinery, taking out major production facilities there. And they've done this enough now where it's starting to push the prices of gasoline and diesel prices higher. They're trying to reduce the supply of fuel that Russia has to support the war efforts. But that also risks challenging the Russian citizens' support for the war as gasoline prices go up. And it also risks, if you get enough of it, their ability to have fuel for planting the spring crops or harvesting the winter crops. So we're watching for signs of that as we go forward. But the big question is, when will it anger Putin enough that he escalates things even more in Ukraine in a way that could shut down movement of commodities out of that region? That's what we're watching for, that providing underlying support to these markets.
And that's when we find out more about what kind of support that might be long term?
Yeah, absolutely. Because right now, commodities have been flowing out of Russia and Ukraine pretty freely overall. Occasionally, a ship will hit a mine, but they're not the type of mines that'll sink the ship. They may do some damage, they inspect the damage, and then they move on. So ships have been flowing pretty freely. Neither country has been willing to use the technology they have to sink a ship because they don't want the world public opinion to be against them for doing that. But that possibility of either one of them doing it if they got desperate enough in this war effort still remains there. And that would be a game changer, especially for the grain markets and the energy markets.
Back to the soybean sector briefly, Arlen. Any legs to that Tuesday rally?
Well, from a technical standpoint, we're scaring the shorts, the speculative shorts of those who have sold positions out of the market right now as we're starting to turn the charts. We're also coming up on the Midwest growing season when you have the possibility of some forecast models out there calling for a hot, dry summer in the Midwest. So it makes traders uncomfortable being short. Is this the sustainable rally? I'm not convinced that it is at this point, but I will say that the funds are less comfortable having it and that there's a lot of soybeans in the United States and even more in Brazil in the farmers' hands yet to be sold. They tell me in Brazil they're looking for a dollar rally. That's not just in board price, but that includes currency exchange rates and basis in order to sell. And so we're getting closer to that all the time. You start unleashing that Brazilian selling, that'll probably caps buying for the time being.
Arlen Suderman, StoneX and StoneX.com. Settlements now. May corn unchanged, 441 and three quarters. July, September, December, every contract flat, unchanged on the day. July still at 453 and three quarters. Dece at 472 and three quarters. Beans, though, a solid move higher. May, 1196. Up 16 and three quarters, and July up 16 and three quarters, going to 1208 and a half. May wheat up a quarter cent, 547 and a half. And the meats higher all day long. April live cattle, 188.25, up 65. April lean hogs, 85.35, up 207. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.